Welcome to Revival for Mission. Our topic today, how to survive horrific situations. I'm thinking of something like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego taken as prisoners of war and the things that they suffered in a foreign land. It happens today, and I know the enemy would have us give up, but God somehow wants to shape us and encourage us in those difficult times. That's our topic today on Revival for Mission. We all face challenging times, maybe even horrible situations, and how do we learn? How do we grow through them? Pastor Wilson, I know people probably look at you and think, if only my life was like Pastor Wilson's life. But you've probably faced some challenges too. Share a time that was really a difficult time for you.
Well, Pastor Morris, you know, life is not easy all the time. We're just facing all kinds of interesting challenges, some of them smaller, some of them larger. And I've faced many challenges in life, just as our viewers have. I mean, we're all in this together, but we need to lean on the Lord completely in those situations and all the time. I remember one time, and this is going way back to my childhood, when I lived in Egypt. And there was a war going on. It was the Suez Crisis. The American Sixth Fleet came to remove all of those expatriates who especially were Americans. And I can remember being taken out of that country from Port Said. And it was a traumatic thing for a little child. You know, I was like 6 years old. And it was just really something, you know, you had to kind of deal with. But of course, I was with my mother.
That helped.
My father stayed in Egypt to help care for our church, but I was with my mother. Now, you know, I think it's so important that we remember in those difficult situations, horrific situations, there is a Heavenly Father who is watching over.
We're going to hear a story today about Fodidas, who faced an incredibly difficult challenge. But before we hear his story, perhaps you could share with us from the Word of God some spiritual encouragement when we face a challenge, when again the enemy might say, just give up. But God could take a difficult time and actually turn it into a blessing for us.
Friends, one of the most agonizing cries ever uttered came from the lips of Jesus as he hung naked on a cruel cross. Those words were, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ left the beautiful, perfect atmosphere of heaven and was born as a helpless babe in this dark world. He grew up and brought light, hope, and healing everywhere he went. He lived a completely selfless, perfect life. And yet the Bible tells us he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, he knows what it is like to experience rejection, sorrow, grief, tragedy. He knows whatever you have gone through or are currently experiencing. That is something he knows, and he cares. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we read, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And we hear Christ's own words in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, as he extends this beautiful invitation, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, this is the secret of getting through tough times. You don't have to bear your burden alone. You can bring it to Jesus, cast it upon his strong shoulders, and He promises to carry you through. I invite you to rest in Him today.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. We're excited today to have a very special guest. Foditas, you've got an amazing testimony to share. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Foditas, as you said, and the other name is quite difficult, but it's a beautiful one, Damnyu Mugabe, which actually means I worship the Lord. I live at Uwima Institute with my family.
And that's here in the United States
of
America.
Right, in California. It's a beautiful school.
But you're not from California.
No, I'm from Rwanda, originally from Rwanda, a very tiny country in Central Africa, but a beautiful and amazing country. Yeah, that's where I come from.
Now, Foditas, tell us about your family and the family in Rwanda and growing up in that beautiful, beautiful country, which is in has a name of the country of a thousand hills. Tell us about growing up in Rwanda.
Yeah, I was born in an Adventist family in the western part of that country. We had a huge population of Adventists. Actually, it's a place where every maybe half a mile you have a Seventh-day Adventist church. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in that environment. And one thing I remember is actually that I got a Bible at my early age, which was an old Bible. Mm. Usually people receive a beautiful new Bible, but I got a gift, my first gift, in terms of the Word of God, was an old Bible.
In the Kinyarwanda language?
It was in the Kinyarwanda language. Yes. But it was a beautiful one because somebody had highlighted all the beautiful verses. Mm. And so she was my sister. She said, "This is the gift I'm giving you." Beautiful. And that Bible, by God's grace, transformed my life.
Beautiful.
Unfortunately, in that country, there was a genocide, as you know. And more than a million people were killed, including my family. We were 8 children, and I was the last. And my nephew, my nieces, my cousins, my sisters, my brothers were killed, except one sister who was outside the country.
Mm. Yeah. Now, what kind of events were leading up to that genocide? And did this happen all of a sudden, or were there warning signs along the way? I mean, as a young person in this environment, how did you perceive things?
Well, there was actually, it was probably prepared as I saw it, because there was hatred. There was, initially you couldn't tell, but those who, and I guess this is going to happen when Jesus comes. Many people know what is going on until the day comes and surprises them. You could see hatred, and radios were being used to teach people to hate each other. Mm-hmm. Not because there was hatred among the people, but politicians were manipulating the situation and pushing, and not because there was a difference or people didn't love each other, but when you want, politicians will always use this to be able to attract people on their side. Mm-hmm. And you know, in a church, you couldn't tell the difference. We all went to church. Mm. The only difference was that some people prayed and took seriously the Word of God, and they knew that whatever was going to happen, they were going to be faithful to God, whereas others, they were just, you know, churchgoers, and this was finally didn't turn up to be good for them because many people abandoned faith in a little while.
You know, as I'm listening to you, Foditas, you mentioned relatives, even brothers, sisters who died. How did you survive? And how did God lead you through that terrible time?
Thank you. Well, I was a church elder at Seventh-day Adventist Church of Remera, which probably Elder Wilson knows, or you probably, it's one of the biggest churches in Rwanda.
Yeah, I think and, probably there.
there was no way to survive because it was a systematic killing, and there was no way to hide. There was no hiding place. You would, you know, they would dig if you find fresh soil. They would go into the ceiling. But I actually survived because God worked out miracles. And, you know, sometimes we pray, even today, and we wonder if God really hears prayers or he can answer prayers. But I tried him, and I prayed, not because I was special, but because he probably wanted me to know, and those people who listen to me afterward, that he is still in charge, and Amen. He listens Amen. When we
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
He is in control. So God covered me with his wings, actually. He protected me, not just by coincidence. And I saw him.
Yeah. So where did you go? Was there some place you went when all of this horrific killing began, or were you kind of lost between all of the activities? What happened?
Well, I was in my house, because the government has said that no one was supposed to go out. And the killers meet me there. And I was with a group of people. It was on Sabbath day. And so I told, I made sure I had some people to teach the word of God. I was trying to encourage them with the words of Ellen G. White in Great Controversy, the chapter talking about the time of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And killers came and they found me there. And they were about to kill me, and I prayed, and they didn't. And then, well, a time came again when I had to run but there was no running, no area to run. I crossed several roadblocks, and each roadblock, I had to pray because, you know, people were being killed. I could see dead people all over, and I had an ID, a Tutsi ID, just like anyone else. It's a long story, but I had refused to tear the ID because many people were hiding their IDs because you don't want to show others that you are a Tutsi when they are killing Tutsis. But I said, no, I'm not going to try to lie. So I had my ID and I prayed at every roadblock. I said, Lord, close their eyes, because that was the only way. One roadblock, the second, the third, the fourth. Around probably 10, and God was closing their eyes. And even when they saw...
It's miraculous.
Yeah, miraculous. Yeah. Even when I was asked to go among the dead, they said, you go, we discovered you, you lie down there, we come and kill you. I prayed and God protected my life.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's really important on this program and to our viewers is how God brings his word to us, the Bible, to guide us and encourage us in our lives. Were there special promises of God's word that came to your mind that were particularly helpful for you?
Yeah, there was one thing that I realized that God does for his people. You know, we shouldn't complain when we go through some trials and the difficulties of life that shake us. Sometimes they are preparing us for something even bigger. I went through some challenges when I was in high school, and because of my faith, I was asked to study on Sabbath. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Then I was dismissed, and then I went to an Adventist school. It was in Congo, Lukanga, and I was one of the leaders among my colleagues, and then I read Ellen G. White writings, and I kept reading the Bible, and it was amazing. It actually works. You know, I'm not going to just say one promise, because I read it through, and I read Ellen G. White literature, and I remember actually taking time enough, and then when the time came, as an elder, again, I was an elder at my young age, 24 years old, and then I said, no, Lord, if you are a God, the God I've talked about since I was young, then show me that you have not changed.
Amen.
And Amazing. Do something in this situation. And actually God did in multiple times. even when I was, you know, I reached the most crucial time, the most difficult time.
Yeah, now tell us about this most difficult time, because if I'm not mistaken, you were at the point of being killed. You were digging your own grave, I think.
Correct.
But you had a Bible with you.
That's true.
Tell us about that experience. That's a moving experience.
Thank you. Well, I was discovered in a bush where I was hiding. I spent about 34 days in a bush. Mm. And in this bush, I had prayed. I said, Lord, because the person who put me there said, there's no other way out. I only know one bush where I can put you. And if God protects your life, He's going to do that. And so I pray that God, the Lord, will surround the bush with His holy angels. Mm. And the next day was like 11 a.m. Killers came and they were hunting dogs. They were armed with machetes and knives. And they discovered me. And obviously they said, well, we are so tired. We have been killing so many people. We're not going to dig your grave. You better dig your grave first before we kill you, because they have been digging graves for everyone they kill in this village. So they said, well, you dig your grave first, and then after you finish, we'll kill you. So they gave me a hoe, and I started digging. Now, I took time to pray. Now, I had the Bible, as you said, and this is a powerful word.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes we just we read it when we have time. But there is, you know, this is the word of God.
Amen.
And it can even change the life of the killers. Anyone can.
That's right.
And so now as I talked about the first gift of a highlighted Bible, as I dug, one of the killers had my Bible. And he's opening. And he goes through some pages. And then he finally comes across some highlighted verses. And then he says, hey, what are these colors in this book? And I said, these are my favorite verses. And he kept reading, and he was reading only the highlighted verses.
My.
And then he finally said, you mean you've read all these verses? I said, yes. But somehow God is working through His word. Praise but God. I wasn't praying for that way. I was saying, Lord, give me wings. I can fly. Because I expected God to give me wings so that I can fly away.
Oh, yes.
Or I said, you can do like you did for Elijah and bring fire.
Sure.
And then all of us are going to be scattered and we run away. But there was no fire. And I was complaining. I was saying, Lord, you're doing nothing. And the grave is going to finish. And once it's finished, they will kill me. But God was doing something already.
Amen.
And I've learned actually to trust in Him that even when He seems doing nothing, He's always doing something. Mm. And so, you know, it turned out to be that as I prayed, one of the killers said, no, we're not going to bury him in this grave. And he said, let him go and dig another grave, because this grave, we're going to use it for someone else.
Mm.
And, I realized something was wrong. I know there's no time enough to be able to tell the whole story, but I preached to the killers. I asked one of the killers, say, can you give me that book before I dig another grave so that I say a word? Something had changed my mind that I prayed to God and said, I don't want to fly. I won't say something before anything happens. Because, you know, they prayed for the person they buried. And I felt bad. I said, maybe these people don't know who God is because they are mocking Him. And so I preached anyway. And it was only like 15 minutes and they started weeping, crying. And their mind was changed, and they decided actually not to kill me.
Pastor Wilson, I know you've got a book in your hand.
That's...
Our viewers probably would like to hear the whole story.
Absolutely, and that's what Dr. Fodidis has written, Preaching from the Grave. I mean, this is an amazing story. You were almost buried, and God used your voice and the Word of God and the highlighted portions of the Word of God to speak
Change
to
lives.
Those
Praise
soldiers. God. I mean, that's another reason why we ought to underline our Bibles
Amen.
And take our Bibles seriously and pick those points that are just absolutely so pertinent. But is it possible to forgive people like that?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience, but God is great. I believe the first thing to do probably is not to wonder whether we can forgive, you know, people like that or not. It's whether we love God or not.
Yes.
Because when we love him, then we can do anything for the sake of Jesus.
So from a grave, you were revived.
Correct.
For mission.
Yes.
And how have you been sharing the love of God since you've been brought up out of that grave?
Yeah, well, coming out of the grave, I went back to my church and I went to church as usual. But there was a serious problem. A church that used to have like 5,000 church members, 4,000 to 5,000 church members. Now, some were the relatives of the killers. Others were even the killers themselves who came to church, and others were victims. And I said, I've got to do something in this situation. I was actually, I was still 24 years old, and I organized evangelistic campaigns. I talked to the mission president, and he allowed me, and I organized 42 evangelistic campaigns in Kigali,
praise God.
The capital city at the same time. And
I wish we could hear the rest of the story, but I'm going to invite our viewers in the few seconds remaining in this segment. Go to revivalformission.tv if you'd like to learn more about preaching from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Hear all of Fodita's' story, revivalformission.tv. God can turn a bad situation and revive us for mission to bless the lives of those around us. We'll be right back.
Many of you watching, and in fact, all of us, sometimes have a hard time forgiving. And yet, Jesus himself said in the prayer he taught us to pray and his disciples that we should forgive our debtors, and that then further on it says, if you're not going to forgive people their sins or their trespasses, God won't forgive us. Now, I want to ask you, Fodidas, in your horrific situation, how did you, or how can a person forgive?
Well, it's not actually easy, especially when you are to forgive the people you call enemies. In my case, these are people who had killed my family, and the entire family had died. But then initially I was like, oh, what is going on? Because life had no meaning. I had survived, but there was no one alive. And so I said, well, I tried to recall myself. I read the Bible, I prayed, and I made sense of what was going on. And that's where everything begins, when you understand that there's a great controversy going on. That people, when they are bad, not because of themselves, there is another power. And you forgive, actually. And I reached a point where I said, no, not only I have to forgive, but I have to help them out. And I went to my village to preach. I conducted an evangelistic campaign, and we baptized 120 in my very
Praise
village.
God.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And this is where your own family had been martyred.
Correct. This is the very village where my family used to be. And there was nobody by this time. It was like a few months after the genocide.
So Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is speaking and telling us that we need to forgive, this is possible as we connect ourselves with him who is the one who forgives us.
Amen.
Correct. We need to understand that we are on the side of Jesus. And before somebody hates me or does anything wrong to me, it's actually because he is wronged and hurt. There is the devil who has attacked him. And so I have to sympathize and to love and to understand that it's not you. there is another power that is working through you, and I have to love and fighting on the side of Jesus, because that's what he does. Mm. The Bible says he loved us while we were still sinners.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Foditas, for your powerful testimony and for how the Lord has worked through you to help forgive others.
Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, what an amazing God we serve. Although we will surely face trials in this world, small as well as some very difficult experiences, we can be assured that there is a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who promises to one day wipe away our tears forever. And so until then, I invite you to fully lean upon Him, for He cares for you just as He did for Foditas. Stay close to Him. Stay close to the Lord. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time, right here on Revival for Mission.